All right, we'll call to order the Town of Stevensville Council meeting for Thursday, June 13th, 2019. We'll do a quick roll call. Councilmember Barker.
Here.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Here.
And Councilmember Michelson.
Here.
Great. If you'd join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we don't have minutes to approve tonight. However, we do have biweekly claims, and there is a plethora of them. Council, your claim sheet on the table has been updated with one claim, and that's the Verizon Wireless bill, claim number 15248. That's a claim that comes via electronically by bill. It doesn't come with a paper bill, and we overlooked making sure it was on the claim sheet. So it's on there for you to pay today. So we're seeking approval of claims 15188 through 15248 in the amount of $72,070.32.
I'm sorry, what was that? $72,000 what?
$72,070.32. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we approve the biweekly claims number 15188 through 15247 for the amount of $72,070.82.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to approve claims 15188 through 15247. I seek an amendment to also include 15248, the Verizon Wireless bill. Is there a motion to amend? Ms. Holcomb?
So moved.
Okay, the motion has been amended to include claim 15248. Is there a second? Mr. Michelson?
I'll second that.
Okay. Discussion on the amendment. Okay, we'll go ahead and, Ms. Barker, go ahead.
The Northern Woods Tree Services for $2,600, I thought that was already taken care of. It wasn't going to be coming out of the town's money, that it was.
No, but we're on just on the amendment right now, and we'll get to the rest of the things.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to call for the vote on the amendment.
Gotcha.
And then we'll get on to the rest of the things. No, you're okay. It's easy to get lost up. Any public comment on the amendment? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Okay, amendment passes. Before you tonight is claims 15188 through 15248. Questions on the claims? Northwoods Tree Service? That was independent of the kiosk project. We took advantage of the opportunity with the kiosk project, since we were going to be in there digging around anyway, to remove the tree as well, so that we weren't putting the kiosk in and then removing the tree. So the tree removal was independent of the kiosk project. We do have funding, though, from the DNRC to replace the tree.
Okay, so that fund that it's coming out of is already way in the negative.
Correct. The parks budget is over budget. However, there are savings elsewhere in the budget that we allocated for that project.
I guess I don't understand why we do a budget if we can't stay within those. We allocate line items for certain things, but then we're going outside those, and now we're in a negative.
Sure.
And it's not just one little item, it's several that I have looked at as well. So
a number of adjustments will need to be made in the general fund budget, because there were unanticipated expenditures, and this was one where we had an opportunity and we seized it. Ms. Holcomb.
But I don't remember this ever being, we only approved the $1,400 and the help with the cement, this was never allotted to even be spent.
Again, it was independent of the kiosk project. It has nothing to do with the funding that we set aside for that project.
Okay.
The two are just simultaneously happening, so we don't have to drop a tree on top of a brand new kiosk.
Well, I thought that was part of their grant to be
no.
That removal of that tree was part of this.
No, that's incorrect. Any further discussion on the claims? Any public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
No.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Okay, claims are approved. Motion passes. 2-1. We'll move on to administrative reports. Don't see the airport manager tonight, so you'll have the building department report and finance reports provided to you in the packet. Are there any questions on the finance report that I can answer? Chief Motley's not here either. Something might have come up. Police report. Chief Marble is ill, and so his police clerk, Ms. Berthout, is here to present the police department report.
Sorry, I'm going to get the... George, you can't do the letter. Okay, Council and Mayor, like Mayor Dewey said, Chief Marble is out, not feeling well, and so I'm going to take care of the report for him. April and May were busy months for the police department. Our second full-time officer, Teniente, was hired in April and has been an asset to the department. We're grateful to have him on board and taking care of helping out and getting a lot of things done during the day for us as well, so it's been good. Two Coffee with the Cops have been held since our last meeting. Our April Coffee with the Cop, Chief Marble, gave a presentation on email fraud. And our May Coffee with the Cop was Officer Teniente. He gave a presentation on protecting your property. Both the events were well attended and had great following on our Stevensville Police Department Facebook page as well. An item that Chief Marble wanted to make sure was brought up tonight had to do with our fleet of vehicles. The Police Department continues to have multiple issues with our fleet of vehicles that we are currently running. Four vehicles are currently in service, and three of those four vehicles have light bar issues, either must be replaced completely or sent out for repairs. One of those vehicles has a siren that has gone out and must be replaced. That siren did get fixed last week, so that part has been taken care of. The three chargers have electrical issues at this time, and if the vehicles are not completely shut down at the end of a shift, the vehicle will need to be jumped the following morning, so that has become an issue as well. Goes back to the age of the cars, the electrical pieces that are going through those cars, and the draw that happens overnight. One particular vehicle does have a kill switch on the battery, so that officer makes sure that he completely shuts down his car at night that way. And then he doesn't have any issues in the morning when he needs to get back on shift. Let's see. Having those functioning vehicles for officers is essential for safe policing practices, and the above-mentioned problems will need to be addressed sooner than later. So we just want to bring that to you guys' attention. Those are some things that are just really weighing on the department right now, and we need to work on taking some time and getting that fixed somehow. It's hard when all of them are, three of the four are having such major issues. Department stats for April and May. As you can see, the numbers listed below, April and May were very busy months. And April, 62 calls for the month of April. 15 of those calls became incident reports. Incident reports can be anything from MIP tobacco, theft of belongings, services, and identity. We also had some burglaries, dog bites, and traffic violation cases as well. And then for May, there were 76 calls in May, and 31 of those became incident reports as well. So busy, busy. Any questions?
You know the good one.
Thanks.
Janelle, will you entertain questions from the public?
Sure. Best that I can.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Oh, how are the cameras in the park doing?
I would not have an answer on that one for you. The only time that we would be, I would be, or an officer would be going and checking on those is if something has taken place at the park, and then we would go back and use that. So I am not sure how those are going right now.
Okay.
But I can look into that for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Smith?
Is it true the rumor that we have no night patrol?
That's correct. We do not have a night officer at this time. Correct.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, I have one more. Are we still under the auspice that even full-time, we are still relying on Ravalli County 76% of the time?
That is a percentage I'd have to check on the ruling. I do not know that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, move on to Public Works. Mr. Thomas.
Those water reductions are just for last month. I didn't get the month before because I lost my computer on my desk. Place with all the other papers. But, you know, we lost 14 million gallons, 438. That's going to go higher now that we're starting to irrigate. You're going to see, you know, our parks don't have, they're not all metered. Some of them are, some of them aren't. And the pool, because we have the valve doesn't shut off completely, so we're always adding a little water to the pool all the time, which helps because there's water loss for the kids. So the fire line suppression that was hooked up at 415 Main is the sprinkler system for Kodiak Jacks. We had to cut in a T into the water main and then T it over to his building, which the only part that we had to do was the T part. The rest of it was done by a contractor that he had hired. The reservoir leaks from our test that we did, and we do think it's the drain valve. I think we're going to need to put in the budget for a tank cleaning to help us figure that out a little better. We're still working with the mapping of our water system. The sewer system's about done, so now we're on the water system. At 218 Church, when they installed all the meters in town, that one got missed, that the sprinkler system is before the meter, so we installed a meter pit to meter that water. The well up at the airport over winter time, the heater must have gone out. So the pit got filled up because when the heater tripped, it also tripped out the sump pump that is in there. So it fried the circuit that turns the pump on and off. We've done some jetting of our mains. We found grease in a couple of them between the mains. We had mash when we had all that ice and flooding. I couldn't jet our line. They didn't have enough pressure to jet that culvert that runs on Pine and Teesside Highway. And so they came down and jetted it, and there was a lot of ice and rocks in it. Our new blower that we have on number two, we had to install some new belts on it. The pulleys were off just enough, and they were wearing out the belts. So we've got new belts on there. Every month we do our samples of the sewer and the sludge processing for the EPA and DEQ. The street sweeper, we've done some sweeping, but we could do a lot more. I know that on the streets. I had scheduled pavement for Spring Street and paving around the fire hydrant down here. That is done. And as soon as we get done with the park over here, for the kiosks and the sidewalk, we're going to do potholes in town. Those done. We did our spring cleanup for the first week of May. And like usual, we have people that either forget or don't know, and we go back and pick up some stuff. But it wasn't as bad this year. Pool is up and running. The new heater's been installed. And sod for the cemeteries after wintertime for the graves. The other day, though, when I went to the pool, our big sand filter has got a leak. I got it patched for now. But that's something we're going to put in the budget for future because that tank's been in there since 1960s. And it's just aged and it's rotting. It's steel. So, and the chlorine affects it. Any questions?
Any questions for Public Works?
Yes, sir, Ray.
I understand that you're kind of shorthanded due to the fact that we haven't hired everybody that we kind of requested, and maybe next year we won't even have them. Is that the rumor that I hear?
Well, I'm hoping we get a second person. Probably not this year, but I hope for two next year. Because it does cut in on our other time.
Well, I understand because you guys are already, you know, winter behind, and it would behoove us to kind of maybe think about hiring an extra guy for you guys to maintain the status quo of things.
Any other questions?
Yes, sir.
So, to make a second point, what Mr. Smith said, so you guys falling behind then, as far as, or are you just barely keeping up?
We're barely keeping up.
Okay.
We're going to let some things go and catch up to them later, if we can.
Okay, good.
Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, that concludes administrative reports. There are no guests or correspondents to review tonight, so we'll jump into public comment. Public comment is an opportunity to comment on anything under the agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. Please make sure you sign the public comment sheet at the doorway so that we have a record of who spoke. And just as a gentle reminder, public comment is a time to comment on affairs of the town. It's not necessarily a question comment period. Public comment. Mr. Adams.
Mark Adams, 319 College Street. I have a question for the mayor. I'm a 20-year veteran of the Stevensville Fire Department. And in February of this year, you issued to all of the firefighters this report for hours, okay? And my hours were, at that time, 90, okay? And then I had this report generated in May, and my hours went down to 80, okay? And then I had this report generated today, and they magically went back up, my hours, to 90. And this is all for 2018. So what is going on? Why are the hours magically adding and subtracting and all this kind of stuff? The reason I ask is I called the state. They have no record of me. The rural district, they're fine. But as far as the state of Montana is concerned, I don't have 20 years for the town of Stevensville. So are we not generating the reports right, or what? And this is baffling to me. I mean, why do you run an Excel spreadsheet and everybody else works off a firehouse? I was told we have four people doing this, inputting information, having access to the administrative side of the software. I can't believe that's true, although I have no way to prove it otherwise. To me, you know, it's a significant waste of taxpayer money. And you people on the council should be aware of this. Four people to do, if we average 20 calls a week, that's a big week. And it takes all of about, oh, I would say 4 hours or less to do those 20 reports, to input them into the software. And that those are heavy-duty calls, not lift assists or anything like that. So, like I say, I'm completely baffled by what's going on here. And I would request, strongly suggest, that the council endeavor to have an audit of the fire department and check these hours out. I mean, I don't know. Why do we need four people inputting something that one person could do in less than half a day? Why do we need two reports when one is perfect? And not only that, but this report, the firehouse report, is backed up by the run sheets and the training sheets. And that's what should be audited. I have no idea why your report, the mayor's report, has me at 90 hours in February and Firehouse has me at 80 hours in May. all for 2018. Thank you.
Further public comment? Mr. Smith.
I don't know if it's appropriate or not. Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stephenville, Montana, 59870. I'm sorry, I'm bleeding. Miss Mon, did you care of me? I have a question regarding the mayoral duties. I watched the Facebook of the last meeting where you, in a, I'll put this politely, in essence, you threatened the council to shut down town government if you didn't get your way to be the treasurer and the clerk for the town. Under the state law, I understand, in my opinion, is there is a separation of all of those. I understand we are in a, I guess you would call it an emergency situation that may require the mayor to do some things, but the fact of the matter is, during that meeting, you threatened two council members to shut down the government because they would not give you a raise to accommodate this situation. And I have to go back to this situation, in essence, was, and I will not generally say that it is your fault completely, but you received the resignation letters of those two independent people within the town. And you were offered exits. And you, as the mayor, chose to, and I don't mean this derogatory or not, but you kind of had a fit. And you threatened the whole town that if you didn't get your way, blah, 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 that the whole town was going to shut down. And that is not a way to operate the government. As the mayor, it is your role and responsibility to maintain your lane. You have a council, you have employees. For you to stand up in front of everybody and say that you're going to be the mayor, you're going to be the treasurer, you're going to be the clerk, to me, crosses multiple legalities. And I have spoken to the town attorney and have gotten a rendering of his opinion. And as he stated, it basically came down to, we had a vote. One council member informed the other council members of the laws and all of that. But after that fact, you threatened those other council members that it would be because of them that the town government would shut down. And I feel that is inappropriate because as the mayor, you were offered, I'll say, some exits to the freeway. And you chose to say, no, I'm going to assume those responsibilities. Well, I, over my, I won't say how many years, but I have learned that when you assume, it makes an ass out of you and me. Again, I get back to, your role as the mayor is to lead your council, to lead your employees in the betterment of our government. And for you to try and assume all of these roles when, again, I'm not trying to be derogatory, Mr. Rare, or anything, Mr. Dewey, I find it hard that you're doing the job as mayor. So now you're going to be the treasurer. And I understand we are looking for a clerk at this point, but you are covering that position at this point. Again, I get to the fact that Hamilton, a community of well over 20,000 people, again, Stevensville is less than 2,000 people, does not pay their city administrator as much as your demand. And again, I love my council members to death, but for them to feel threatened to change their votes to accomplish your goal, I find quite disheartening. I think we need to relook at that. I think we actually need to look at the options that were available to you, whether it is to ask April to come back and fulfill those duties until we fill those positions. But for you to threaten to shut our government down because you are not receiving what you think you should as a $25 an hour, and again, I get back to Hamilton's, you know, mayor and city administrator does not make those funds. So I would ask council to relook at this and to take the stance that as council members, we operate under the Roberts Rules of Order. And there are areas within Roberts Rules of Order that the council can censure and make their point to the mayor in regards to his overstepping of his duties. And I really wish our council members would take a look at their role and their responsibility. Again, I get to, we all have a job, but Mr. Mayor, it is not your job to take care of everything. Thank you.
Mr. Eggert.
Conrad Ecker, 106 College Street. I just had a quick question to clarify something Mark had said. Mm-hmm. You had said that the state has no record of you being a fireman in 20 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's two different state organizations.
That's not the one that deals with your retirement, right?
Well, one is the rural.
The state retirement fund knows you're there, right?
The state does, yes.
Okay. I was going to say, except they don't know you're there, the city definitely needs to jump on this and get that thing care of. For 20 years, you throw it away, it's ridiculous. So, okay.
But you need to understand there's two.
Excuse us, it's public comment. It's not an opportunity for public to converse with each other.
Okay.
Is there any further public comment? Ms. Tad. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Larson.
Go ahead.
No worries.
Dave Larson. Some city property I brought to the mayor's attention about a month ago. A zoning violation on 314 Main Street, the old laundromat building, that apartments were being constructed in that building. And that building has been vacant for well over 1 year, maybe 2 years, maybe three. In the process, the mayor thanked me for bringing that to his attention. I said construction was ongoing and he would look into it and for me to check back with him in 1 week. I did. You were not available. I left a message 3 weeks ago. I left a message 2 weeks ago. I left a message yesterday. You never returned any of my phone calls. I got a hold of you. You picked up the phone today. We discussed this issue. You are considered the zoning compliance officer. Your excuse was we're busy. We don't have staffing. This man is being allowed to continue his project, spend money, which he might be in violation of having his whole project shut down. I don't consider it fair to the public that illegal apartments are being constructed, much less the fact that you're allowing this individual to expend monies that he may later have to gutters project or something like that. You basically said it's not going to be for public comment. You may handle it yourself, and the public won't be made available to the outcome of the situation. And I find that not correct from the zoning compliance officer, whom is you. So, due to your response to me, basically saying, I'll get to it when I get to it, I will be taking other matters to other people that will look over this.
Further public comment? Ms. Tapp.
Thank you. Leslie Tapp at 509 Mission Street. We just got back from Arizona not too long ago, and we're trying to figure out where to take our grass clippings. My husband is filling up our garbage can every single week. We have no room for garbage. So I'm just wondering if the waterworks site for dumping is open?
It is not.
It is not. Is it open just to some people?
It is not.
Okay. Several weeks ago, I followed someone down to the park. They had grass on the back of their wagon. It was being pulled by a red truck. You were at the gate with a sign that says, no one beyond this point, and you were with a city worker. That red truck belongs to Bill Perrin. I followed him down there. Is there preferential treatment for some people in this town? It appears so. So is it open for all, or is it closed to all? Which is it, Brandon? Council, what do you say?
Further public comment? Hearing none, we'll move on to unfinished business, discussion, decision, and update regarding the finance officer and town clerk vacancies and completion of associated functions during the recruitment and onboarding process. As an update to the council, I wanted you to be aware we've seen more applications come in for these positions. We have at least one application for the finance officer position, and as of today, we have 6 applications for the town clerk position. The most recent deadline that we set for those applications to close out was the 21st of June. However, we'll begin reviewing those applications and start filtering through their qualifications in order to, at least for the town clerk's position, in order to get those filled as soon as we can. Any questions? Ms. Barker.
I just want to clarify on some stuff. At our last meeting, when you said that you posted to several different places, Montana League of Cities, the town clerk position was only posted one time on there, and then it was taken down, and it was never posted again for the finance officer or the clerk. I went to MMIA's website, nothing was posted there. Town's website, we did have it posted until Phil. I went to the Missoula Job Service, Hamilton. I did find some stuff on Indeed, but it wasn't posted until the 6th of June. A to Z personnel, no listings. I guess the problem that I have is that you told us that you posted this to a lot of different places, and so when I went and did research on it, not even in our Stevensville Star. The only thing that was posted in our Stevensville Star was the council position that was open. I feel like we're being lied to on it, just my opinion, but if you say that you're posting it to all these places, you better be posting it. I felt that it wasn't accurately posted when we had directed you to go statewide with it. That includes the job service in Missoula, Hamilton. I feel that it was a failure, and the only place that I really found it posted was on Indeed and on the marketplace. That's it.
So MMIA doesn't post on their website. However, they do facilitate posting it on the league's website. Those postings do expire, and so it's on me to make sure that they get renewed.
I went in the night.
I'm not finished. What MMIA will help us with, and we can do on our own, is sending it out to the several listservs that go out to all the clerks in cities and towns in Montana, which is not something that's just posted online. It's an email list service.
Well, I did find the one posting on Montana League, which was just the clerk, and okay. You said you had posted both. That was the only one that was posted on there. You told us that you had contacted MMIA on it, Angela Simonson, and Angela said no. So I'm just...
Angela was the one that posted the town clerk one.
Well, that's the only one that was posted on that site, but you waited until June 6th to post the others.
And that was immediately following the meeting we had where you asked it to be reposted.
But we also asked you to post it more than just places.
Okay, so what would be helpful, Stacy, is instead of checking up and making sure it's been posted, is to just bring it to my attention saying, I haven't seen it in these places, what's the holdup? Or recruiting... I'm more than happy to allow you to pitch in and post them yourself. There's nothing that says you can't. Okay. Ms. Holcomb.
Well, to follow up with that, I actually sent you an email saying I would like to see it in the papers and job service. So the problem I have is you keep yelling at us saying we're not giving you any direction, but when we do give you a direction, you don't follow the direction. And like I said, I did email you and I said I would like to see it in papers, I would like to see it on the job service, and that hasn't been done either. So, I mean, I would just like to see, I mean, we do need to have someone in those spots, and the more we can put it out there, the more applications we'll get. I mean, a lot of people don't get on Facebook.
Anything further? All right, we'll move on to unfinished business item B, the Ward 2 Council vacancy. Per Council's direction, it was re-advertised in the paper for 10 days per your Council rules, and no applications were received. So I'm coming back to the Council with how you would you like to fill the vacancy on your board. Mr. Michelson.
I think since it went past 30 days, according to Council rules, we can appoint, as you stated at the last meeting, we're going to appoint a candidate. We're willing to fill out tonight the new business item A.
I'm confused. So are you indicating that you're going to, under new business item A, appoint a candidate?
Yes, we are, sir.
And who might that be? We don't have any applications.
Don't need one. We appoint it.
Per your council rules, you require an application for that. Vacancies on the council shall be filled by an application process as described in section 3.
That's right.
Okay. Mr. Mackelson.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to suspend council rules and to appoint a candidate in Ward 2 since it's been past 30 days.
Okay. Do you want to do that under this agenda item or the next?
The next, sir.
Is there anything further on the Ward 2 Council vacancy then? So your motion is to suspend Council rules and appoint a candidate under new business item A.
Yes, sir.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Barker to suspend Council, or excuse me, Ms. Holcomb, to suspend Council rules and appoint a candidate to fill the Ward 2 vacancy under new business item A. Council discussion. Public comment. Okay, hearing none. Oh, Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stevensville. I would hope council considers the situation that arose the last time. I would ask council to look at what they are trying to accomplish as far as filling that role. I understand we did have two applicants. One was Mr. Jim Cruz, and I forget the other gentleman's name, but from what I understand, and I could be mistaken, That gentleman has not lived in the town of Stevensville. Again, we get to the zip code and the town. But that gentleman that I, because he even said it himself that evening, that he had only lived in the community for a couple of weeks. Now, that was his words, not mine. My understanding of the law is that you must be a town resident for over 60 days to apply. So I don't say this lightly, but there was only one candidate that met those requirements that I am aware of. And again, I could be wrong, and please correct me if I am. But that individual was Mr. Cruz, who, yes, has been our mayor, who, yes, was a council member. And yes, I have had my difficulties with him. But we need to get our council back to a whole group. We need to start looking as a council to what we are bound by: Robert's Rules of Order, state law, and our own ordinances. And again, I hate to say this, but there were two council members who were bullied to not recognize law and not recognize what another council member may have said during that period. So I would ask council to look at this with an open mind and appoint basically the only individual that, as far as I understand, meets those requirements. Thank you.
Okay, to clarify, Mr. Vick does qualify before he withdrew his application. Just after Mr. Cruz did his. So the residency was verified, and he was a resident of the town for 60 days prior to filing. Otherwise, I believe he wouldn't have filed. Nonetheless, both of them withdrew their application from consideration by the council. You have no applications before you today. Further public comment? Mr. Smith.
Being that the mayor is correct that there was no application because both of them rescinded their applications, forgive me, Lord, you can consider me as an applicant, and I will fill out all appropriate paperwork if that is what is necessary to fulfill this. But again, under the law, the council has the right, after this period that we haven't filled that position, to fill that position with whomever they so choose, whether they applied or didn't apply. It is council's choice. So thank you.
Ms. Tavick.
Leslie Tappick, 509 Mission Street. My husband sat on this very council. He was appointed on one night. He had been coming to meetings. There was a shortage in the council, and the council on that night appointed him to fill that position. There was never an application put forth. It was the council's decision, since the council does direct the city. I appreciate Ray putting his name out there, but you are coming up on budget time, and you are coming up on the need to get a budget together. The only other person that I know of who has sat on a council, who sat in your chair, is Jim Cruz, and he needs to come in and help direct this town, because right now we don't have Nancy, we don't have a clerk, we don't have a treasurer. And if Jim Cruz knows anything about getting this stuff together for our town and a budget, then I think that the council should be putting him on. That's my husband and my opinion tonight. Thank you.
Further public comment? All right. Motion on the floor is to suspend council rules and appoint a candidate under new business item A. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we appoint James V. Cruz as council member Ward 2, Stephenville, Montana.
Can we vote on the first motion, please? I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
And Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. We move on to new business item A, discussion decision to suspend council rules in order to nominate and appoint a candidate to the council from Stephenville Ward 2. Mr. Michelson and Ms. Barker. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion to appoint James V. Cruz, Ward 2 council member, Stephenville, Montana.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to appoint James V. Cruz as Ward 2 council member, Stephenville. Further council discussion. Ms. Holcomb.
I was going to say this one last, but I was too appointed when I first got on council, and then I had a run for my position. But I was appointed to this table on my very first time. And Jim Cruz does know everything there needs to know, and he does follow the law. There's no gray area in the law, what was brought up at one of our meetings. There's no gray area. There's no you bend the rules depending on the circumstances. We need to follow what the book says. We need to follow the ordinance, the resolutions. We need to get us back in order.
Mr. Michelson?
I'd like to add that this has been a very, very trying time to try to get a council member on here. We went through this last fall when Raymond resigned. That was a very trying time. Had two council members that were outside in tears after a meeting. And then not too long ago when we were doing the interviews, I seen one of the most shameful things I've ever seen in this chambers is when a candidate that's been a mayor and a council member was up here and he was belittled, he was shamed, and when he withdrew his application, some of the members of the audience clapped and cheered. And I guess I'm awestruck. I don't get to see where a town of this size, and I know there's division, nobody did not going to sugarcoat it. There's a division on one side, there's always another side, they both take sides, but to get this ugly in here in these chambers, it has to stop. It cannot go on any longer.
Amen.
At the floor, please. And yes, Mr. Cruz is boisterous. Yes, Mr. Cruz is loud. Yes, sometimes people read him different. But when it came to the rule of law and the ordinances and everything, you will not find a better candidate that sits here. I don't think you will. And for that reason, that is why I think he would be a good fit right now. And as Mr. Dewey said in a couple meetings ago, there's three seats up here that are going to be filled by the fall. The people will decide. We're only here for another 5 months. And you, the people out here, will decide who you want to fill these chairs with. So I'd say let Mr. Cruz be here for 5 months. And let the people decide who they want with my position, Stacy's position, and Mr. Cruz's position. Thank you.
Further discussion from council before I call for public comment.
Mayor, I just like to remind everybody, Jim Cruz ran for office and he was elected out by the people of this town. And it was something he couldn't accept. That's all I have to say.
Further public comment. Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stephenville, Montana, 59870. And I understand the hesitation by the constituents that Mr. Cruz was a council member and then went on to be the mayor and then was voted out by the people. Again, I get to, we have surpassed that situation within the law. It is now up to, and again I get to, I don't think our council and our mayor understand their role and responsibility. Being that said, we have surpassed that legal limit to get somebody to apply. At this point, I would wholeheartedly support the council's recommendation of Mr. Cruz. Unfortunately, I do not see either one of them here this evening, and that saddens me, but again, it is up to the council. And as Mr. Michelson said so eloquently, in 6 months, we can vote, pardon my French, their hiney's out of office, if that's what we choose. But at this point, we need to get our government functioning, whether it is good functioning or bad functioning. I'm not going to jump on a bandwagon until I see it. But at this point, it is the council's responsibility to make this appointment. The council, again, controls what happens in our community. Again, I get down to roles and responsibilities. As the mayor, it is his responsibility to bring forward candidates for the council to recommend or approve. Again, it is the mayor who brings forward a budget to the council to approve. So again, I implore you as council members to do your job, follow the law, and do what you feel is best for this community.
Thank you.
Further public comment? Ms. McCurry.
I'm Sue McCreary. I live at 417 Mission Street. The two times that Jim Cruz was a candidate to replace the situation in Ward 2, this room was packed with people who do not pay high water bills in town. They did not live in town. I wasn't here the last time, but I read a petition by businessmen against Jim Cruz. None of them lived in town, maybe one of them. So as a person that lives here, pays high water bills, I pay taxes here, I know most of the people here, George's bailed me out when my water was frozen. And I respect Jim Cruz. I have been to his house. I have seen his puppies. If you haven't, you need to go and see them. They're darling. He loves them. He loves the people in this town. He loves this town. So I am very pleased and very happy that you would consider him to replace Council Resolution in Ward 2. Thank you.
Further public comment? Ms. Ecker.
Tommy Eckert, 106 College Street. Knowing Jim on a personal level, I've known him for quite a few years, and when he was on this council, he spent at least 40 hours a week at home doing research. He goes by the letter of the law. There is no gray area with him. I know when he was mayor, he spent hours down here. And if he wasn't, you know, down here, he was still doing his, you know, all of his mayor duties when he was out of the office and stuff. I know that man puts his time and his effort into this town. He loves this town. He loves the people of this town. He volunteers to go and help people shovel their sidewalks, and if they need help, he is there to help. I think he is a great candidate for this position. Thank you, guys.
Further public comment? Okay. Motion on the floor is to appoint Jim Cruz to Council's Ward 2 vacancy. I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
And Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. All right, the next item on the agenda is new business item B, discussion decision, Council to rescind Resolution 281 and 281A. Mr. Michelson and Ms. Barker. Ms. Holcomb.
I will make a motion that we rescind Resolution 281 and 281A.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to rescind Resolution 281 and 281A. Council discussion. Ms. Holcomb?
The reasoning I'm doing this is I think it's time that we should be able to talk to our attorney. We can never talk to him unless he gets your permission, and half the time you're not replying back to his emails that he's sending you to get permission. So I think it's time to get rid of this. So when we have an issue, we could talk to our attorney and get answers.
Okay, further council discussion. Public comment, Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, 59870, Stevensville, Montana. I would disagree with council with this. We have a council president, Mr. Michelson, who unfortunately it is his role and responsibility to be your liaison for these issues. I would highly suggest again to council that they utilize the means and apparatus at their disposal to accomplish the goals that you are seeking. To change where, again, we are being charged $85 an hour, Mr. Mayor?
Correct.
To inquire with our town's attorney, if we now allow four council members and a mayor, there is five separate situations where he could charge us $85 an hour. So again, I implore council, and I am appreciative of our council members that they would like to do this because they would like to have answers. But I would let them understand that there is a mechanism for them to accomplish these goals without having everybody to ask that question. So again, I just wish council would understand the power that you guys have to accomplish these goals and accomplish what the town needs us to accomplish. Again, I implore council to look at Robert's Rules of Order, which we operate under as a town. There are remedies for all of these issues that are being thrown out. Again, we have a mechanism within the law right now, and unfortunately, Mr. Michelson is the point person as the council president for these issues.
And I understand that we all want to have the information right away. But I get down to, we are a small community, and at $85 an hour, and that doesn't mean you're asking him an hour's worth of questions. It means you ask him one question, and if it takes him 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, he's going to charge you $85 per hour. So I would just implore council again to use the system that you have in place. Continue to, unfortunately, use Mr. Michelson and abuse him, and go from there.
Okay, further public comment on rescinding Resolution 281 and 281A. Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
I understand what you're saying, but even our attorney has asked us to get rid of this because we have gone to our council president and we can't get answers because he will not answer unless our mayor replies back to him if we have asked him that question. But I've had emails that have not been answered. So our attorney has asked us several times to look into this because there are laws to follow that are already out there. This was just put out there because a few years ago we did have a council person that overstepped his boundaries. There are boundaries, and we should be adults and know those boundaries. We don't need to be emailing them all the time, but if we have an issue, we need to find out what that answer is. So I understand. I do agree that we do have roles and Robert's Rules of Order, but even our attorney has said he would like for us to squash this.
So this was discussed at a committee of the whole meeting, and that was in part prompted by Mr. West to revisit the issue around 281 and 281A. In my conversations with the attorney, he's never outright said, just repeal 281A and let's be done. What he said is, we need to look at 281A and come up with a protocol for attorney contact by the council that is fiscally responsible and still meets the needs of the council. I don't think his intent was to throw the whole thing out, although if that's the council's intent, that's your deal to do so. Brian wanted to provoke the conversation of how does protocol for the use of legal counsel look? And you decided in your committee of the whole meeting not that long ago that you didn't want to modify anything, that you had agreed that you would follow the rules that were in place by 281A, and we'd go about our business. So, and then the challenges that Brian has had is that we're not following the rules in regards to protocol for legal counsel, addressing questions to the council president individually for consideration is the first step. The council president then consults with the mayor regarding pre-existing answers to any questions submitted to the town council president. And then any question that's not been submitted will then be sent on to the attorney by the council president. And then that correspondence that happens between is available to anyone. What's happening is that we're either directly addressing those questions with the attorney and putting him in an awkward position, or we're addressing them with the council president and bypassing the mayor's office altogether, and then addressing them with the city attorney. Nothing has come to the mayor's office to say, has this been answered or hasn't it been answered? It's all gone straight to Brian, which then requires Brian to touch base with me. And his issue with 281 is it puts him in an awkward position where he has to verify whether or not 281A has been complied with. And when he calls me and says, has anyone sent you this question? The answer is no, it went straight to you, Brian. It didn't come to my office. I don't get that correspondence from Mr. Michelson.
Can I answer? I've CC'd you, the council president, and you.
You can CC me, but you're supposed to send it to the council president, who will then address it directly with me. And that's the confusion. But nonetheless, if your desire is to rescind it altogether, open the floodgates, and as long as you're willing to budget for that, fine. Further discussion from council? Public comment, Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stevensville, Pi 987. I would hate to disagree with the mayor. Under the law, it is the council president and your duties to interact with the town's attorney. The town council contacts their Mr. Michelson, who is the president of the council, and inquires to their questions or whatever. And he submits them to the town attorney. He does not need your approval to do this under the law. He's the town council president. You both have an equal right under our system of government to make those questions. And for you to sit here and say that it has to go through you before it can be answered is against the law. So again, I get back to what I've said multiple times this evening is we all have a role and a responsibility. Unfortunately, it seems as you, Mr. Mayor, are trying to assume the responsibilities of everything within this government. And you are just the mayor. I don't mean that derogatory or anything, but we operate under a weak form of government where you are a weak mayor. And I don't mean that derogatory. I just mean it within the sense that the council makes the decision. And under the law, we as a town have given the council president the auspice and authority to seek town council or town attorney confidentiality. Again, I get to one of the biggest things is our town attorney is going to protect our town before he protects anybody else. So there are some issues within that realm that may have some questions that need to be figured out. But again, that is between the mayor and the council president. Under the law, they have the same authority to go to our town's attorney for legal opinions regarding issues with the town.
Further public comment or discussion? All right, motion on the floor is to rescind resolution 281 and 281A. Call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. Go to new business item C, discussion, council reminder to the mayor that the mayor is required by law, section 7-3-203, subsection 1, MCA, to enforce council resolutions. Michelson and Barker. Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to read a little tidbit here, Mr. Mayor. This goes back to what I said earlier. When the crowd was here, it was getting pretty raunchy and pretty boisterous. And for the second time in 6 months, fellow council member Holcomb and fellow council member Barker have left this chamber in tears. And when council members leave this chamber in tears, that's a big red flag. And you are the speaker. You moderate the meetings. And when it comes to certain people, you're very good. But when it comes to other people, you just let the people, the public, just pound on them. And I'll use James Cruz as a good instance. The way he pounded, the people pounded on him, and you sat there, and you did not say point of order, and you let him do that until he walked out. It is unacceptable. So I'd just like to read this. Duties of executive. The executive shall enforce laws, ordinances, and resolutions. The mayor has failed on several occasions to enforce council rules as specified in Resolution 387C, Council Rule Part 10, Section 2, Second Paragraph. The mayor has allowed defamatory, slanderous, and belittling comments. The mayor has used foul language and abusive language during council meetings. He has allowed loud and abusive language to be made by members of the public towards other members of the community and the council. The mayor fails to follow proper protocol and interrupts a council member who has the floor, violating Council Rule Part 10, Section 2, Paragraph 1. Robert's Rules of Order is a governing document of the council conduct at all meetings. Any member of the council may call point of order in accordance with Robert's Rules. Further rules and explanation grounds for a point of order, see page 249-250. All members of the council have the authority to require council rules and Robert's Rules of Order to be obeyed. Council rules apply to all members of the council and all persons attending a council meeting. So it comes down to the point where we're not perfect either as a council, as a mayor, but we are elected officials. That gives us a little standing ground. Whether you like us personally or not, the chambers are a place where we conduct town business. And if we can't get back to start conducting that on a professional level, and that means us, yes, too, the public, then we're going to have to take some steps. I would ask Mr. Mayor if he would be a little more diligent in the future to, if he sees a crowd getting out of hand, to call point of order. You're out of order, please sit down. And if they continue to do it, then Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask you to have them removed from the chambers, because this has got to end. We can't go on down this slippery slope. And if you can't enforce it, then we will as a council, because this is our meeting. You just moderate it. This is where the council conducts its town business, and it needs to be done in a professional and manly way. Thank you, sir.
Further discussion? Okay, move on to new business item D, discussion decision, council's consent to the mayor's appointment of Crystal Wortman to the park board. Ms. Wortman's application is in your packet. She's applied to the park board as an interest for parks and recreation. She lives within the required perimeter of the town in order to serve on the park board. And as the park board resolution states, council consent is required to make the appointment to that board. Applications before you tonight. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we consent to the mayor's appointment of Krista Wortman to the park board.
Is there a second? Ms. Parker?
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Parker to consent to the mayor's appointment of Krista Wortman to the park board. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
So, will this make a complete park board then, Mayor Drury?
It will not. It will actually, as one person leaves, Ms. Wortman will come on. Okay. Ms. Macbeth has stepped off of the park board. So once we get Ms. Wortman on there, then we're going to get a park board meeting put together and try to get some energy revitalized there. Further discussion? Public comment? All right. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Thank you. Item E is discussion decision approval of audit services contract with Strawn Associates for fiscal year 19, fiscal year 20, and fiscal year 2021. The audit proposal and contract are contained in your packet, and it is a mirror of the previous contract that we've had with them as they finish up our fiscal year 2018 audit. Ms. Barker.
So when will we see the 2018's audit? Because I know when Mr. Phillips was on here, he sat in on that particular audit. Is that correct?
That was an exit review. So it was a meeting between a council member, who was Mr. Phillips at the time, myself, and Ms. Van Tassel, where they reviewed the process they used in auditing the town before they complete their final report. That final report is ready and is ready to be issued. They're waiting on a response back from the town on one specific finding in regard to the TIF district and the amount of funding that we're holding in that fund, because it doesn't necessarily comply with an expenditure requirement, much like our general fund.
So we're relying on legal counsel to help us put that finding together. Once that finding is, or excuse me, that response together, once Strom Associates receives the response, then they'll issue the audit report and they'll come and do a presentation with the town council. So I would expect that the audit report will be issued to the town mid next week. So it's possible that it would be on your next agenda or the following, within the next two meetings, you'll see that report. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve the audit services contract with Strom and Associates PC for fiscal year 2019, fiscal year 2020, and fiscal year 2021.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to approve the audit services contract with Strom and Associates PC for fiscal year 2019, fiscal year 2020, and fiscal year 2021, three-year contract. Further council discussion? Public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
All right, motion passes unanimously. Next item is discussion decision, review selection of legal services proposal. It's review slash selection only because I wanted to give you the option to choose whichever avenue you want to tonight. I don't necessarily expect the town council to select a legal services proposal tonight. Neither attorney are here in attendance tonight. But I wanted to give you a chance to review the proposals that we opened at the last meeting. Oddly enough, I sat down today and went through the cost difference between the proposals. And I based it off of 10 hours a month. And ran a tape based on the fees that were included. Mr. West is rated $105 an hour, and Mr. Owens' rate was $80 an hour. However, he had a base of $200, I believe, dollars per month. So for 12 months, we're hooked for $200 an hour plus $80 an hour each month, and then Mr. West was at $105. So based on 10 hours a month, we just picked an hourly figure of what we figured it might take per month to serve the town in just the council's legal capacity. They both came out to be exactly the same dollar amount based on 10 hours. So it's a wash, essentially. And Ms. Berthaud helped me verify, because it was strange that we got the exact same number both ways. And so we ran the tape a couple times and found both of them were exactly the same. Based on 10 hours, that number was $13,000 a year. So if the council would like to schedule or direct me to schedule interviews with these folks, or if you just outright like to make a selection tonight, or if you'd like to put this on a future agenda, those are all options that are available to you tonight, but I wanted to at least give you a chance to review the proposals and give me your desires from there. Mr. Michelson?
I don't know, did Brian call you last week, Mayor Dewey? He called me last week and he wanted to give me a heads up to say that he's got stuff to do on the docket, and whether we choose him or not, that's our decision. Mm-hmm. But he wanted us to be aware that time is running out.
Correct.
And July 1st is our due date for him, picking an attorney. So he just wanted to give us a heads up. We don't have a whole lot of time to sit and do interviews or all this other stuff. I mean, we can, but he just wanted to say, don't lollygag around. Let's get going on this.
Absolutely, and I need a number to put in the budget regardless.
Correct. So just thought I'd add that. Thank you.
How does the council wish to proceed with the attorney proposals? Ms. Holcomb?
Well, I would like to be able to talk to both of them. I mean, I know Brian, but I never met this other gentleman from Adam. So, okay. I mean, it would be nice if we could actually sit down and talk to both of them.
Okay. So, from that, is it permissible then to schedule a special meeting with both of them in the room? Do you propose any questions to ask them, or would you like us just to come up with a
a listing of things to ask or a conversation piece. Ms. Barker?
I know after reading through Mr. Owens, his service right now is not in the area. It's still out of Helena, but he is presuming to move this way. I mean, is that what I'm gathering from his application?
I think he's got an office in Missoula, doesn't he?
He's working here.
Right. His office is temporarily located in Helena, and he is transitioning to Missoula, where he currently resides. So he's living in Missoula, and apparently somehow he's commuting to Helena for his practice, where his office is. It's certainly a run for it. And I don't know what his timeline looks like, that he's moving his office to Missoula, but his residence is in Missoula, so.
So he's, if we decided that, you know, maybe we would show him, he's not going to come back and say, well, I want travel on top of that for back and forth.
No, that's not
in the contract, but just in case it occurs, right. You know.
You have the option to back out and go with a different attorney.
So I'm willing to do a special meeting, probably the sooner the better.
Okay. Likely schedule one as soon as next week. And take a look at the calendar.
Should we find out what their scheduling is like?
Yeah, I'll have to contact the two of them and find out what the best date next week is, and then we'll schedule the meeting thereafter.
All right, that works for me.
Is that the direction council consents to?
Yes.
All right. Okay. That concludes the business portion of the agenda. The executive report, for the most part, I think has been covered. Through the rest of the agenda, I'm doing the best I can to make sure that everything's getting posted into the system as far as expenditures and claims and revenues, and beginning to do the reconciliation on the books. So that work's being completed, and then obviously as meetings come up, we're getting the agendas out. However, as we don't have a clerk until and even after we have one back on board, it may take us just a bit longer to get that council packet out. And the goal has always been to get it out on time, but I think that the Monday following the deadline is likely going to be the latest you'll ever see it. I know we got it out this weekend on Saturday. So I appreciate the council's patience especially this agenda, it was a big one to put together, and there were a number of administrative reports that we needed to get compiled from the different departments in order to get it in. And for example, George was out of the office all week and then came in and we had to get his report put together for him. So it's not ideal, but we will hit the 48-hour mark for sure, but we want to get through packets to you as soon as we can. So thanks for being mindful of that. And just to, this, it just begs to be said, some of the decisions you've made this evening, while yes, they're your decisions to make on behalf of the public, I can't help but speak to the irony in some of it, where you have an agenda item on here to remind me that I'm required by law to enforce your ordinances and resolutions, but it seems that when a resolution or a rule or something doesn't necessarily fit to the agenda at hand, well, then we'll just suspend it. And case in point would be your council rules very blatantly state vacancies on the council may be filled by application process described in Section 3. That indicates that there's an expectation of an application process, or at least that a candidate would be in the room when you appoint them. 281 is another one. Well, we can't, for whatever reason, we say in a CAL meeting we'll follow the rules and we'll do what the resolution says we'll do, and then it doesn't seem like that works out, and so instead of following the rule or adjusting the rule, we just get rid of it altogether, and open the floodgates up to a potential expenditure that we're not prepared for, especially in legal services where we're already overrun. I expect the comments probably fall on deaf ears and won't be given much thought, but it's just so crazy to me that you can sit here and tell me I need to enforce your rules, but then when it comes time to take it to task, then it's, well, we'll just suspend council rules. And, you know, it's that easy. Nonetheless, we continue to, as an administration, to carry out the work of the citizens as best we can, given the staffing we have. I realize it's not ideal for a number of folks. It's certainly not ideal for me. I have higher standards, but it is what we have. So hopefully we can recover. I spoke to, on a different note, last council meeting, I spoke to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the team that was slighted in a playoff. And it turns out that team won the Stanley Cup. So for whatever that's worth, they persevered and won their first ever championship. So congratulations to them. That concludes my executive report. Council comments. Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to take a little time here. And we have a fallen comrade. Her name is Nancy Lowell. She was in a pretty bad car accident last night. She's one of us. She's been a clerk and a treasurer of this town for many years. We all know her. We all love her. And I would ask all of us to please, when we leave tonight, take a moment of silence and say a prayer for her. She really means it. Thank you.
Further council comment? Ms. Holcomb?
After hearing Dave talk about this laundromat, I would strongly suggest that you would get with them and find out what's going on in there to make sure it is legal. Because I've been hearing a couple things that have been going on in this town that we probably need to start looking at.
Okay. Ms. Barker.
I just wanted to remind you that I will not be available for the June 27th meeting, as I did send an email out to you.
Yep.
Reminding you that.
Thank you. Any board reports? Have boards met? Not for you. Mr. Michelson?
I didn't make it to the airport meeting. That's my fault. But in my defense, my wife was flying in from Mesa, and her airport was coming at 5:15. And I couldn't be at two places. So.
Understandable. I did touch base with the airport board chairman today, and he briefed me on a couple of things that are going on at the airport. They're still looking at some pavement improvements and that sort of thing. So I think that was the center of their conversation. If there's no other board reports, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.